and welcome to the Victory Devotional Podcast. We invite you to take the next few minutes to connect with God, hear His voice, and respond in worship and prayer. Here's today's message.
Let us pray. Father, we continue to rejoice in Your love, in Your goodness, in Your faithfulness, Lord, towards us. And our desire, Father, is that we would continue to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And so, Lord, I pray that Your words would be spirit and life to us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are our teacher. We commit our time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before I minister God's word to you this morning, I do want to greet my wife. Happy birthday, Minnie. And it's her birthday today, okay? So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 17. I'm reading out of the NIV. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me trustworthy, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We are focusing our ministry and teaching this week on honoring God. And here, certainly, Paul was doing that. It seemed like it was a spontaneous expression of adoration to God. And we will see this as we reflect on the text. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, to instruct him and also to equip him because he had left him in Ephesus. You can read that in the first portion of this text, to deal with some problems, with some false teachings and even some stubborn people in the church, and how to deal in love and address these particular problems. And again, we love the church because it's the body of Jesus Christ, it's God's people. But Paul had to address certain problems. You know, when there are problems in the church, it's not something for us to be anxious about, but it's something for us to learn to minister to in love and bringing correction, bringing people so that they can be brought to a point of reconciliation and forgiveness. So that was what Paul was trying to help Timothy as he was left there. You know, he was a young leader, we understand from the context. So, and Paul, of course, was in a way a larger-than-life figure because he was a great apostle. And I want us to understand Ephesus in particular. You know, Paul had many church plants. We see that in his three missionary journeys, beginning in Acts 13, no? And then all the way up to Acts 19 when he planted the church in Ephesus. From my understanding of the study of many of these church plants, every church plant is significant, but Ephesus in particular had, I believe, the greatest impact, not just on the people in the congregation, but the region as well. Because it says in Acts chapter 19, after 2 years, the whole region was influenced and impacted by the gospel. Not only that, as I've studied church history, I haven't read enough to be able to speak definitively on all things, but my understanding is the church in Ephesus was actually the longest lasting church that was planted during the New Testament times. And so that's how significant church in Ephesus was. And so Paul was having to deal with these problems. But as he was helping Timothy, apparently he began to couldn't help but begin to reminisce, as much as this was his greatest, one of his greatest accomplishments. Of course, he wrote many of the epistles, which we've benefited from, but he became reminiscent, if you will, of what God has done for him, considering, I mean, all the his achievements. And that's what we read here. He began with thanking Jesus, who considered him faithful and all that. And what I want to share with you is, as we read in the text earlier, he ended up giving honor and praise and glory to God. But I want to share with you from this text briefly four reasons why Paul wanted to give glory and honor to God. We see here the worthiness of God. When we say we honor God, that means we esteem him, we value him, we give glory to him. And that's important for us. And Paul gives us four reasons, at least, from this particular text. Number one is Paul's being entrusted with the gospel. Paul could not but thank Jesus that he was given the privilege of being appointed to serve him as a minister and even as an ambassador of the gospel. Why? Because think about what Paul was before this. He said, I was an enemy, basically, of Jesus Christ. He was a passionate enemy of the church. We know the story. We're going to read a text later on. This is something I've actually meditated upon for many years. This is actually one of my life verses, if you will. I can personally say maybe, 80% of the time, whenever I pray to the Lord, I thank him. Lord, thank you that you've entrusted the gospel to me. I was a rebel, but now you've appointed me to your service. That word is a diakonos, a servant of God, meaning someone given the privilege of being part of what God is doing. Think about that. The government often has what's called amnesty programs, isn't it? Because amnesty, when you allow people who've rebelled against the government basically to be pardoned and to be allowed freedom and not be enemies of the state anymore, then I think for those people who've gone back to the fold of the government, we see that every, not just in the Philippines, but other nations. And when that happens, in a way, it's an act of grace because you're giving them a chance to mend their ways. But it's another thing if these people who were rebels before now become government leaders. And we know that in our own history, isn't it? We've had government leaders who were former rebels. I don't know about you, but that is sure an act of grace, isn't it? These people who were formerly trying to bring destruction to the nation now are helping in nation building. And that's the sense, I believe, of Paul's gratefulness. Lord, I was once your enemy, and now I'm your servant. What an awesome privilege, isn't it, for Paul to be that? And which gives us his second reason for honoring God, and that is because of God's outpouring of grace, faith, and love. Paul realized that he deserved God's judgment because he persecuted the church. But yet he realized that I was actually doing this in ignorance and unbelief. And if there's one thing, as I thought about this, I realized, you know, we can be sincere, but sincerely wrong, isn't it? You've probably heard of that saying. But somehow the Lord can still see through, Paul's heart in spite of his fallenness and really persecuting Christ. Remember how Paul encountered Jesus. He was walking, on this way to Damascus, and the Lord appeared to him. He fell off on his knees from the horse he was riding. And Jesus was saying to him, Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he was shocked. It's like, Lord, I'm here to do your work, to persecute the church, not realizing that he was persecuting Jesus in that sense. And somehow that's just the patience and the graciousness of God. You cannot fathom the mercy of God when you think about it. All of us were his enemies at one point or another, maybe some worse than others. In fact, I want to go now to the third reason why God was worthy of being honored by Paul. He says the third reason is because of Christ's great work of saving sinners. And this is interesting. Paul uses this phrase in some of his writings. Here is a trustworthy saying. So, Paul, in as much as he taught the word of God, he would make statements at some point to be able to emphasize certain truths. And here is a trustworthy saying, as he says here. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I don't know if you realize the magnitude or the weight of that statement, because first of all, we know from other scriptures, you know, one of the most beloved verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but receive eternal life. For God did not come, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. How wonderful to hear that again and again. We were just running away. None of us were seeking after God. If you were seeking God, it's because God was drawing you to himself. And Paul realized that he was the worst sinner. It says here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else, they have the reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've lost all things, and I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You know what Paul realized? I mean, he was a religious leader, and yet he said he considered himself the worst sinner. Now, why would Paul call himself a worst sinner? And I've realized this, I remember ministering this to a person in particular who tried to be a good person. But when I dropped this statement, that made her realize, wow, that's heavy, but it's real. And I told her, I think one of the worst sins is actually self-righteousness. When you think that somehow your good works or your ability to do, you know, to do good things is what will merit salvation. And this person really took it to heart. And the wonderful thing was she gave her life to Christ right there and then. And she was gloriously saved from that, with that understanding. You know, we're all sinners, isn't it? We deserve his judgment. And yet, God in his mercy sought us out. Whatever sin you were. Now, of course, there are consequences to sin. So I'm not saying, that all sin is the same. Obviously, there are serious consequences to the life we've lived. And yet, that doesn't mean that there's no sin too great that God cannot save, isn't it? I just remembered that song. You know, there's no sin too great. The cross accomplished what we couldn't do to save ourselves. Which brings us to point number four. Finally, the reason we can worship and honor God is because of God's eternal kingship. I love this spontaneous. It seems like it came across as a spontaneous expression of adoration. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Actually, King James. I like King James. It says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. I love that phrase. There's only one wise person, and that's God, our Father in heaven. All of us, really, we were foolish in our sins. You know, the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, brothers and sisters. And, you know, in a world where Paul lived, where the Roman kings wanted to be worshipped, and the Greek and Roman pantheon. Can you imagine the false gods? Ephesus was the home of Artemis, the regional deity of that place. They all wanted worship. And Paul says there's only one worthy of worship, the eternal king. Kings will rise and fall. And we need to remember that when human leaders to this very day think that they are the answer to humanity and in their despotic rulership. Sad reality is there are still human rulers who think that they can live forever and rule in unrighteousness and wickedness. There is only one eternal king, brothers and sisters. Human rulers will rise and they will fall. but there's only one King, eternal, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we end this time of meditating upon God's Word, God is truly worthy of honor and glory. Amen. Because He entrusted the gospel to you and me, because He poured out His grace and love. He saved us from our sins, and He rules and reigns forever as King Eternal. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the joy of knowing, just as Paul did, that though he was once your enemy, now he's your son and servant. And Lord, that is such an awesome thing to think about, that we were lost and subject to your wrath and judgment, and yet because of your great love, not only have you paid the penalty for our sins, you reconciled us to yourself. Now we're your sons and daughters and servants. Father, may we be renewed in our joy of serving you, because you are truly worthy of our love and adoration and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I call upon your name, no harm will overtake me, because you overcame. Oh God, you are my refuge, I rest beneath your wings. I'm safe in the shelter of my King. I know that you will save me. When I call upon your name, no harm will overtake me, 'cause you overcame. God, you are my refuge, I rest beneath your wings. I'm safe in the shelter of my King, 'cause you are.
All right, well, have a wonderful day and week ahead of you. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope this helps you build a habit of hearing from God daily. For more messages like these, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to watch these messages live every morning, visit us on facebook.com/victoryph.